developing financial fluency as a CEO. And so I've come to continue to provide resources for that person, because we need to have walking around napkin version intelligence to those key indicators in our business.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Vinny Fisher, the CEO of Fully Accountable, and he's the author of two books, which you can probably see in the background when you see him, which is The CEO's Mindset and False Prophets. Vinny, thanks for joining today.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me today.
No problem. So first off, congratulations on being in the Inc. 5000. This is your first time on there?
Yeah, you know, we're real excited about that. You know, there's a little plaque up there kind of
celebrating
our award this year. So I'm so proud of our team. They are the reason we have that award, and our clients too. But yeah, we're excited about that. Thanks.
What was the journey like to becoming on the Inc. 5000? You just have to communicate with them and show you kind of the actual numbers, I guess?
Yeah, you know, so anybody, I would encourage that process. You know, for a service company, right, our ROI is on humans. And so the journey is much harder than the product businesses I've built over time. But once you have 3 years of qualified financials, which means you actually have financials, and you meet right. your minimum requirement of revenue, then you apply. And it really goes through a process. They're a very professional organization to work with. You are communicated with along the way. And so we're thankful. It's the first time we were eligible and did it. And so we're probably going to double over our ranking again for next year. We're pretty excited about that.
And that'll be exciting to follow. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys started, it sounds like 3.5, 4 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah. So we actually started really in August of 14. They kind of made the name up in the car. It's a funny story, but we were internally solving our own problem with my health supplement company and my sister companies that I own. And that classic entrepreneur that had 4 or 5, you know, operating businesses. And so we solved it first for ourselves. And then it wasn't until about 8 months later, in the winter of 14, almost the spring of 15, that we opened up to the outside community.
So Fully Accountable is the company, and what sort of work do you guys do and who do you guys help?
Yeah, so we provide a full outsourced accounting and finance solution for e-commerce and digital companies. So what that means, our core offer is, we call it 4-in-1, right? You think of an accountant, the controller, the quarterback, that person, plus they have at their fingertips the bookkeeper, a CFO on a fractional basis, and a data analyst, all four of them in a package for the business for less than having an executive bookkeeper on the team.
Oh, that's exciting. So yeah. That kind of follows this trend I keep seeing, which is it's like service as a service almost, or
right.
It's a weird way to describe it, but it's like.
Yeah, I think what's happening with technology and where we're going, that one of the things I highly encourage, this is very relevant to your listening group, is this idea that more than ever, having a good part to the base of your team and then thinking of a way to extend your team. We're just an extension of someone's team. Everyone who thinks that we work for a client, we're actually on their team. We just sit somewhere else. So this idea of having an outsourced expert on your team allows for a massive advantage to smaller businesses now more than any time. When I think of when I first started business, I would love to have had resources where I can have an outsourced CMO. I can have an outsourced right. CEO. I can have an outsourced CTO and have project managers on my team managing those relationships. Good night. The ability to grow and scale with expertise is so greater now more than ever.
And I think that software as a service has probably set people's expectation that they can get things on almost a per seat or a fractional basis. So I think it's exciting to see people that are, you know, making the choice to go out and productize their expertise.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you guys in a sense have done, yeah. right? Like you've productized right. a service and bundled it to offer more value than hiring an employee essentially.
Well, yeah, we are. And the funny thing is, until we started doing things that looked a little more software in nature, like charge up front, put it into packages, mm-hmm. give you a clear destination, actually who we specifically work with, all those things is really what led to the massive growth of our company. You know, in the beginning, people say, oh, I work with small businesses. Well, that's so
broad, right?
Broad, yeah. That there's 28.5 million of those. So once we raised our hand to the e-commerce and digital community and then packaged it, and then really created an outsourced way to have an employee on your team. All of those were the secret sauces that made us a 3-year overnight success.
3-year overnight success. I mean, it is a short while. You find out really, I used to think that a year, if something wasn't flying, that it's not going to work, but it's actually the opposite. that's the ramp up. So I think your success is actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, actually, you know, we hear from outsiders like, well, how have you grown so quickly?
Right.
And I'll tell you, those early phases, you know, this is specifically for service people or people who have a software hybrid with service. That middle phase where you're just big enough to have to grow beyond your shadow, where you need other people and you don't break through to that next phase, that is ridiculously hard. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't just unsmart enough to not realize it, I probably should have quit a few times. I just pushed through.
You wouldn't be on the Inc. 5000 now.
Yeah, we have 77 people or so on the team now, and we're this thing. But there were points where it was so hard, where the margin was shot. We needed a couple extra staff. It relied heavily on the principals. Those days were hard, and you're like, why am I doing this again? Like, I know I'm out solving a problem, but my gosh, there's easier ways to make some money. Can I go back to my digital e-com days where it was just me and a few people with a big business? And thankfully, we were able to endure those winter months, so to speak.
Right.
Now, we're on a whole other trajectory. And so I always say to people, be careful about what season of life you're staring at someone's business, because you're looking at a certain season and you got to make sure you're looking at the right season that you're trying to emulate, because we all have seasons we have to go through. And so now I'm thankful to be an example of a service company that has a strong ROI, has a good profit margin, is the leader in our industry. But boy, I'll tell you, if you really want to crack open a soda and have a talk about 2 years ago, when we were really working through tight margins and, you know, wondering, do we make payroll? And if one more doesn't make it, like, what do we do on those days? I think that's where most people check up. They don't fight through those days.
So I guess the first thing that I always see is, how do you acquire customers? And what was that experience like initially when you went out?
You know, it's funny, like, you wouldn't think of us as a traditional accounting and finance firm. One, because we're not. Two, because it's built by somebody who isn't one. I'm not an accountant or a financier by trade. I am a lawyer. I grew up, I had a law practice as a corporate and M&A lawyer. But I was I am first and foremost a business guy inside of e-commerce and digital. And so we saw a big need in the marketplace. And so our first move was to just go right in and do business development. Like, this crazy idea, pick up the phone, right? Like, make some phone calls, like, go ahead and do the early stage stuff that are necessary. And then, because, you know, I don't have these awards by accident, I'm a marketer. You know, I'm able to do lead gen. I was able to work with our friends at ClickFunnels and other places. I created sales copy and Facebook and, you know, LinkedIn. We love LinkedIn. We love LinkedIn a lot.
LinkedIn's great.
And we're able to use our house email list, all these things. We do those things in addition to, if you've got something where you charge somebody more, my attitude is, the start of the funnel creates marketing activity. And the whole purposes of marketing activities to get hand raisers. Well, as you get down the funnel, high yield, high dollar stuff requires high touch. So we believe in a lot of hand touching in order to really get people to close on higher ticket stuff. And I think if you sell higher ticket stuff, you got to have an attitude of more touches down the funnel.
So it's interesting. So, I mean, you're referencing, and for people that don't know, the two awards on the one side are for ClickFunnels, which is a tool to build online sales funnels, right? Yep. Which is, you know, landing page, offer, starting to build a list, and automated follow-up. So it's a really effective tool to build some sort of automation in the marketing process.
Absolutely.
The challenge, though, it seems there's a lot of them out there in the world, and getting people to do stuff on them, it might be, I don't know, do you find it's increasingly difficult? Or
I think what happens is people get, I think overall, regardless if you pick on lead pages or click funnels or
any other tool,
you know, whatever tool we're talking about, and they're all fine, is that people get overcomplicated. The consumer, right. there's a value proposition of the problem we solve. And so for us, early on, we were trying to get people to click on things and buy off a form. And when we realized what they want is an actual consultation to help them through their problem, we figured out part of our funnel. I think you need to start with your unique selling proposition and your unique value proposition first. And then all the automation tools just help to automate and create efficiency. They don't actually create customers. They just help you hopefully lower some of your cost to acquire, but they themselves don't create the path. Your unique selling proposition and your unique value propositions, those are the things that, you know, create customers. And my best advice to anybody in a six-figure or under phase is pick up the phone.
Right.
Like, call talk to people who are specifically looking for you. One of the coolest things I ever did for Fully was go on to like a job board and find people who were looking to hire us in house,
right?
And just stalk them, call them. Hey, would you rather have that done externally? We can do it way more efficiently. And that's how our first version of our kind of our mission came up. We can win your time back. We can do it for a fraction of the cost, so the money's cheaper and we have more resources. So time, money, and resources became our thing because we started picking up the phone and saying, man, we could do this way better than you can. Like, oh my gosh, we would love to hire you. And
right,
I think because
I was thinking about this morning, which is, you know, for example, I wrote automate and grow.
Yep.
And I think it's almost like it should have been grow and automate. Because I think my own experience, and you're echoing that, is you almost have to like curate and hand, you know, deliver the first 5, 10, 15, 20 customers probably. And the digital thing should just be a lead gen part of it, is what I'm seeing most product or business ideas. Even if it's digital, it's like you still have to make that human connection, I find a lot. And you can short circuit it. But I'm curious what your experience has been like.
Michael, you are spot on. I want to jump on top of that and say that maybe round two of 2.0 of that book should be grow and then automate,
I feel like I put them ass backwards most of the time.
Well, actually, here's the sad part. Here's the sad part. I want to be honest to all of our listeners. Most people don't buy the grow and automate book because really we sell sizzle, not steak. They want the not hard work thing. So you probably titled it correctly.
Automatic.
The reality is that book should talk about automate second after you grow, because a business is nothing without customers. And so the idea of automating is supposed to win back efficiency of acquisition of cost and efficiency of how to communicate as you get larger. The problem that I think most young, hungry entrepreneurs face is they think automation is the way to do the things. And I fight internally all the time. Automation is winning back efficiency, not a way to acquire. And so I love it. Maybe just the internal parts of your book have to change, but like,
if you read it that they don't, but I always knew it's like in my head, I'm like, I know what this really should be.
Yeah.
But the other one seems to and I know some people are actually scared of automation, because they think it's like stealing their thing, right? But I guess what I position in the book is what you're echoing, which is, okay, well, you need a plan first, and then you need to go out and do the thing and bring in business, right? Because it's not a business until you have revenue. And then you've got kind of bulk material where you can go, okay, what am I best at? What inspires me? What's the stuff that's repetitive? Because you don't have anything repetitive until you have customers.
And by the way, the first one or two customers are probably the easy ones to get, because you're just going to call in your very short Rolodex. It's customers 3 through 10 that are hard, because you got to pick up. I'll tell you, the most loving thing you and I can keep telling our people is get some customers and iterate from there. Automation becomes a thing that allows you to win back margin. It isn't a business.
That makes sense. And
yeah, I just wish more people would hear that.
Well, hopefully some people listen to it here and I can remind myself.
I can be guilty of automating things that may or may not even work.
Right.
So, you know, we always say test it first and then we'll automate it second.
Makes total sense. Well, listen, I want to be respectful of your time. A couple of things. You wrote a few books on the two. What is False Prophets about?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a play on words a little bit, right? So its tagline is, it's not the top line that pays you. And the book is a little bit of a journey of how I came to opening Fully Accountable. But the big one of the biggest nuggets in there is this idea of solving for X. And I think all books have a big principle. And my big principle in there is to help a CEO have financial fluency. And there are certain things that are very critical to a business. I didn't have it. I set out realizing that I would always measure gross revenue as my core metric. Mm. And what had to switch for me, my product companies, you know, I had a large health supplement company, I had a large web hosting company, is I actually never really knew the acquisition cost of a consumer. And so solving for X was a good cocktail napkin version of how to really solve for X. And so I want to give that that and some other tools to your listeners as
great
from us. So maybe we can go to fullyaccountable.com/automate-grow. And perfect. There we'll give you a tool that would help you to solve for X. Actually what we have is our 5x5x5 formula and how to double your profit margin. And then we'll give you our books. There's ways to get those there. And I want to help someone. We'll have that thing packed with resources for your people. But
awesome.
What I really encourage for the youthful leader, but in age and in wisdom of business, is to increase your financial fluency to the level you're at. I'm not asking you to be like me. I'm not asking you to be an accountant or a CFO. I'm asking you to realize the cocktail napkin versions of the things that are important. And here's a litmus test. Have you ever watched Shark Tank and you're like, they're hammering them, right?
Right.
And you're like, hey, buddy, you knew you were going to be on the show.
Yeah, don't you know your numbers?
How do you even know these things? Well, I think you should honestly look in the mirror and say to yourself, oh, I could be that guy. Mm. Well, I can tell you, I was that guy.
Right.
I didn't have those walking metrics around. So False Profits was my first journey into that, developing financial fluency as a CEO. And so I've come to continue to provide resources for that person because we need to have walking around napkin version intelligence to those key indicators in our business so that we can really focus more on the net, not the gross.
Oh, I love it. One of the big things that I harp on in my own universe is even just education, particularly around math and numbers. And, you know, I worry that the last 8 years, there's been a real lost generation on math because of the way they've been voodooizing it and trying to teach it. I like the theme of your book because I look for anything that helps bring it back to a mean that anybody can, you know, anybody can understand basic numbers.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be intimidated by them. You might be, you know, you might want them to be better, but that's how you figure it out, right?
It's like, quite honestly, the terminology, when I hear like contribution margin, gross profit margin, I hear asset liquidity, EBITDA, I'm diminished.
Yep.
I don't, you know, where our secret sauce became our secret sauce for the type of business we serve was that we gave them financials with observations and analysis and charts and things to do. I was scared to look at a report and figure out like I'm supposed to look at it and know what the heck I want to do.
Yeah.
Once I got that big scary bear out of the closet, I realized that if I can get me, the CEO of a company, if I can get you better data, then you're going to make better decisions. And for the reality is that's true of this financial fluency attitude. If I can get napkin-esque attitude towards certain metrics in my company, we're going to be a better company, period.
I love it. That's great. That's a great resource. So I'm excited that you're providing that for people.
Happy to provide it. I really want more people to win. You know, almost 85% of companies will never see their fifth anniversary, and 42-ish% reasons is lack of cash flow and financial accountability. So we want to help people win more at that.
I love it. And then CEO's mindset quickly is what's the theme of that? I can guess, but.
Well, you know, a business really is a disguised job until you learn how to grow beyond your shadow. And so that's a book of the journey of really going from an offer to operations. How do you really grow something beyond your shadow? And that breaks it down into the six areas. And you'll find out very quickly the key principle in that book is I believe in people over everything else. And so the chapter two of that book is the core principle of how to actually, as a CEO, have the mindset to grow people beyond your shadow.
Oh, I love it. So we'll put a link to that as well in the show notes. And
yeah, and we'll also, in those free things, you raise your hand in the free part. We would love to send it to our people.
Oh, cool. Okay.
We, We really are on a journey to help people. By the way, shout out, you don't make money writing books.
Right? I can tell you that firsthand.
So, we want to help. So anybody who on your listening audience raises their hand, our Jordan and her team would be delighted to send some gifts out.
Awesome. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to wrap up with two questions. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you think is important before I do that?
No, I just love that you're trying to help that community of people who are really trying to break through, right? And breaking through is a grind. It's a hustle. It's so stinking hard. It's nice to have people like you who are there providing people like me and others who can bring resources to help our community push through it.
Terrific. Well, I appreciate the feedback. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so two things to wrap up, and then we can let you on with your day. One is, how are you, Vinny, changing the world?
I think, one of the reasons I stopped doing some of my other businesses is I was making a bunch of money, but I wasn't, I say to my wife, Debbie, if I stopped those businesses, the world would have stepped right over my dead body and continued. Okay. And the only thing we were doing was making more money for the Fisher Empire. Now, we are actually solving a need in business, so much so that every day we're getting letters, gifts, shout outs.
Oh, wow.
We would hurt people if we stop now. And we have filled a value equation where we're helping CEOs have financial fluency, and we're filling a hole as being their entire back office. We're an irresistible offer. And because of that, we've been given the burden to do it more. And so we're solving that problem in the e-commerce and digital community. It's not always easy, especially when you're dealing with money. Mm. But boy, we have been given a massive privilege, and our unique value proposition is proving out by awards and continued growth.
That's amazing, and what a great mission. Okay, I'm going to wrap up with one final thing, which is when we have interesting guests on the Automate and Grow podcast, we like you to nominate another guest to be a future guest. So usually we talk to experts or entrepreneurs that are doing interesting things or solving interesting problems. So who would you, Vinny, like to nominate to be a future guest of the podcast?
I'm a big fan of automation, and I think of, I'll give you two, but I,
sure. We'll take two.
I think of immediately is a guy named Tony Grebmeier, who's the owner of Ship Offers. He also has launched a killer community called Be Fulfilled, where he has developed a journal on, sitting on another table, I would have pulled it up, where Tony and his team have developed this great journal that allows, it's specifically built for leaders, entrepreneurs. And then their company, Ship Offers, provides an outsourced 3PL logistics solution to people who ship things in a box. And they're great. I recommend him. And I can think of others, but someone that comes to mind right away at the agency level, or even a health level, I love automation, right? Automation is always a big deal. And so I think of a guy named AJ Yeager from Praxis Metrics. AJ is a good friend. And I love what him and his girl, Megan, who's way smarter than he is. So maybe you want her. But they're doing some really great stuff on the business intelligence side, which would be the front edge side of before what we do, and we love them. And so AJ is another guy I would do a big shout out to.
That's terrific. Okay, so Tony and AJ, you've both been nominated to be future guests of the Automate and Grow podcast. We accept those nominations. We look forward to an introduction. Vinny, thank you so much for your time today. I'm excited to continue to talk to you in the future.
All right, good talking to you, Michael. Thanks for having me.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode.